the husband of Yvonne Brown Sugar,
Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugarfoot Saxton. She's a bad mama. Isn't she, Chris? I remember Chris and Joe, they bought my house from me when we moved years ago. So I know them quite well. We grew up in Calvary together. Hector Sotomayor is a pastor now. And this is, these are my sidekicks here. And I've got their names written down because I don't remember. Over here on the left, this is Jazzy Jeff. Just as cool as they come. Amen?
Amen.
And this is Summer Breeze. Herbert, Summer Breeze, just as easy as they come. And they are my brothers, my friends, my partners, my carpenters, my painters, and most of all, disciples. Disciples. Amen. And they drove down with me, and they're just a real blessing. And before I get into the message, I don't want to belabor the time, but I would have somebody with a strong voice, whether one of the two pastors, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, would you read that portion of scripture and I'll pray it back to the Lord. Amen? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 15 through, I believe it's 21 verses there. It might be more. Now, brother, is this water mine?
That water is fresh, clean, and for you.
Okay. I don't mind if
you can remember your wife's name.
I just told you got three of them.
Yeah.
Later on, I'll tell you how she got them.
Yeah. Now, what verses?
Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to the end of that chapter.
All right. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to the end of the chapter. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Now, Father, Lord, this is one of my patented prayers. And it just reminded me, Lord, I haven't officially put my pastor on the prayer list with all the other guys. And Lord, remind me in the future to do this. But Lord, I pray, even as Paul did, that you would strengthen all of us here today with might by your Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell or abide in our hearts by faith, so that we would be rooted and grounded in his love, being able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of your love, that we might be able to experience, know by experience the love of Christ with passage knowledge as a result of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, so that you would do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, even pray or say, according to the power of the Spirit that dwells in our hearts. Lord, your word says that you're looking, your eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking that person whose heart is strong towards you. You hold nothing back. The world has yet to see what you can do, will do, through a man or woman, boy or girl, whose heart is perfect towards you. Let us be that people. Beloved, I'd like to sing a song that coincides with the message. And now you got your sheets in front of you. Now, I told you last time I was here, I had a water pistol in my back pocket. And if I catch you dozing or getting ahead of me as I speak through the message, then I'm going to squirt you. And you don't know what's in it. No, it's not microscopic. It's in the big pocket right here. But anyhow, stay with me this morning. Amen. But by the way of an introduction, just to set up the message, you know, stay with me. I have to do this. And I want you to stay with me. Now, as I read the introduction. Um, The key word in our two messages today is abide. Let me ask you before I try to work with this definition, what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Someone help me with that. What does it mean to abide? Anybody? I'm sorry?
Stay with.
Okay, someone else? As it relates to Christ. What does it mean to abide? I'm sorry?
Live with.
Live with. You know, you've got a twin in Rochester. Her name is Peggy Holt. Isn't that Chris? Joe, does she look like Peggy? I thought that was Peggy. But anyhow, to stay with. Who else? What does it mean to? You need to know this, amen? You know why? Because, and I wasn't going to preach on this, but I do have to make this comment. I think the greatest sin that a Christian can commit is not to abide in Christ. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Because you can do nothing without him. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen?
Amen.
To abide in him. What does it mean? Help, hurry up. Let's go over here before passing. I'm sorry?
Follow through.
Okay, Pastor, back there.
To live with him.
Live with him. Pastor.
I'd say to have him with you where you live.
Generally speaking, the word abide, stay with me now, can be defined in a variety of different ways. For example, let me show you some, I just want to share with you some one and two words that are synonymous with the word of abide, alphabetically. For example, to abide means to accept, to believe, to belong, cleave, cling, continue, to be close to dwell, depend, endure, fix, follow, fellowship, rest, reside, surrender, stay, stick to, trust, yield, and more. Powerful word. Spiritually speaking, as the word abide applies to our Lord in Jesus Christ, I want to take a few of those words from all the synonyms that I gave you. It means to continue to remain in close fellowship with the Lord after you get saved. I don't know if you can be as close to the Lord at any other time in life than when you first get saved. That's why David prays, you know, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen? Or something like that. And all you have to do is read through, and we don't take time to do that, the book of John chapter 15, where it talks about abiding in Christ. And by the way, that portion of scripture is for those who are already saved. There's a lot of confusion that is taught from that portion of scripture, unfortunately. Jesus is teaching how we can bear the fruit of his likeness. The only fruit that the Holy Spirit produces is the likeness of Jesus Christ. As we yield and allow him to live his life through us. Then we become his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece. That make any sense? Are you with me now? To abide. Just remember, to abide in him means to begin, after you get saved, to continue to remain in close fellowship with him. How close? Close enough to allow him to live his life through you. That's true Christianity. That's one reason why you see so many people that don't look like Christians, don't act like Christians, don't walk the way Christians should, know nothing about abiding. We'll get back to that. Work with that for a minute. The key phrase in our message is Christ-centered. Now, what does it mean to be Christ-centered? Christ-centered. What do you think it means to be Christ? Now, I'm trying to learn, too. Amen? What does it mean to be Christ-centered? Someone, I'm sorry? Yeah, that's part of it. Christ-centered. Come on.
With Christ.
With Christ. Amen. All right. Someone else. Christ-centered. Focus on him. Someone else. Pastor, you can pipe in. You know why I'd rather hear from your wife? She's probably smarter than you. But anyhow. My wife is. Better preacher, too. But anyhow. But she preaches at home. You heard her. Don't you leave that door open. Yeah. But anyhow, let me take a crack at it. To be Christ-centered. Paul says it best. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm just a vessel.
Amen.
You know, my heart is centered on Christ. You know, he prayed that prayer that we just listened to, that we just prayed. Paul wrote it by the Spirit. Amen. That God would strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Why? So that Christ might dwell or abide there. That Christ might be at home in our hearts. That we would allow Christ to be centered. The center of our life. We allow him to control every aspect of our being. Folks, that's Christianity. You know, we're not, and I don't say this in a condescending way to look down on anybody, but I've been around for a little while. I know I look like I'm 40, but I'm 68. I've been saved for 40 years. That's why you might be confused. But I know that we live in a Laodicean age. And I do know that I believe this, Pastor John. Now, you're smarter than me. You might not be smarter than your wife, you're smarter than me. Doctor. I believe the greatest indictment that the Lord has against the church today is only a remnant of his people abiding in him. As you look throughout the dispensations, in every dispensation, God always has a remnant of his people who have not bowed their hearts to Baal, who have allowed their hearts to be a sanctuary. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, that you may be able to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that you have in you. That's why he characterizes the church age as being lukewarm, not on fire. And you need to, well, let's take inventory in our own very own lives. You and you and you and you and you and you. And if I had time, I'd come down and point you out, but I don't have time. Peggy. Are you lukewarm or are you on fire? If you're on fire, it's because you're abiding in Christ. If you're on fire, it's because you're allowing Christ to live his life through you by being obedient to the scriptures. Can I get a louder amen?
Amen.
I wish somebody in the piano, when I said, instead of saying amen, I'd like you to go to the room or something. But anyhow, we're not a Pentecostal church, but I am a Baptocostal. I'm having fun. Beloved, here we go, introducing the message. I am convinced, biblically and by experience, that the number one reason any of our relationships fail whether it's our marriage relationships. And I don't know what the percentage is now, it's probably higher. But at one point, the percentage of the 50% of all Christian marriages were in failure.
Yeah.
And others might as well be worse.
Yeah.
Any relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, Christian marriage relationship, family relationships, stay with me now. Relationship with your friend, etc., etc. If our relationships don't measure up to God's standard, it's because they are not Christ-centered.
Amen.
Christ is not in control of them. Amen. Are you with me? Some of you are saying amen, some of you are not. You're not mad at me, are you?
Yeah.
That's all right, I love you. I like you too. I like your food, too, so I want to go ahead and hurry up. But anyhow, if our relationships were Christ-centered, if we allow him to dwell or abide in our hearts by faith, he would give us the grace to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't do that unless you're experiencing Jesus' love. Then you can express it. You know, you ever wonder, Lord, how can I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, in the flesh, you can't do it. You have to experience the love of Christ.
Amen.
And then express it. If our lives were Christ-centered, we not only would be able to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'd be able to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We would be able to love one another the way Jesus loves us. We'll be able to love our enemies. I mean, I didn't say to put up with the garbage or the sin. How many of you know that God's love outweighs sin?
Amen.
We'll be able to love the lost enough to tell them that the wrath of God is just waiting to come down on them. I like to sing. Guess you don't know that, do you? I want you to sing with me. Just repeat after me. This is a message we need to take everywhere. If we don't. For God so loved the world.
For God so loved the world.
He gave his only begotten son.
He gave his only begotten son.
That whosoever believes in him.
And whosoever believes in him.
Shall not perish.
Shall not perish.
Have everlasting life.
John 3:16.
You know, I've learned, you know, I tell people that my singing is my preaching. I'll go in stores like I did this morning at McDonald's, and I'll start singing songs like this. God is love. Yes, he is. He loves you all the time. God is love, you know he is, he loves you all the time. And you can search the whole world over, and no greater love you find. God doesn't love you once in a while, God doesn't love you once in a while, God doesn't love you once in a while, he loves you all the time.
Amen.
People start giggling.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's a ministry. People not love. I wish I had time to share testimony. You're going to have me back because you said you would. I'm going to talk about the evangelistic things that I do that work.
Amen.
The point is, we're talking about Christ-centered relationships. Now, this is what I'd like for you to do. After it, I sing this song. And Pastor, I've been watching your clock. I think you start a little bit later than you normally do. So I'm going to be done at 10 after 12 so that the cooks will know, so that they won't have to scorch the food by trying to keep it hot. Because we got to eat. Okay? So help me, Holy Spirit. But I want to sing a song that really coincides with the message. It's a very familiar song, and I was going to see if we could do the accompaniment. But I usually don't sing with accompaniment because I don't want to mess up your instrument player. Because I'm off key. And if you know music, just sing with me, even though I'm off key. But let me have this song. I want you to meditate words on this song. I should know it by heart. We all should know it by heart. You can look at the words. I believe it's page 290. No. Higher Ground. What page is that? Someone find that page while I sing it. Just shout out.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day.
Stop. I'm singing. You're listening. Oh. I'm pressing on. I want you to meditate. Because sometimes we sing songs without meditating on them. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where deeds abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tabled land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tabled land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts are me a hurl. Yes, for faith has caught a joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Sing with me. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Now, Father, I come before you once again. Now, help me, God, I pray, to get through these first few points, and then we'll pick up a little bit later as you lead. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so the thing I want to share with you, first of all, as we look at, you can look at your chart now, and you'll see that the title of our message today is How to Abide in Christ Together in a Christ-Centered Triangle Relationship. Repeat after me, how to abide in Christ. Oh, come on, do better. Listen, I want you to talk one man. You can out-talk one man, can't you? Okay, how to abide in Christ.
How to abide in Christ.
Together. In a Christ-centered.
In a Christ-centered.
Triangle relationship.
Triangle relationship.
Very good, class. I think this side was the best so far, but anyhow. But without, this is the text. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We ought to know that verse by heart, if you don't. That's the text. Now here's the thought. Go all the way down to the blue here. Now some of you don't have, how many of you have a color copies like mine? How many have black and white? There's some covered color copies, but anyhow. You're not as colorful as me, but anyhow, let me finish. I like to have fun. Here's the thought. To abide in Christ together, you must, someone say diligently.
Diligently.
Seek him together.
Seek him together.
Let's go up the steps. In his kingdom and righteousness first, and at the door of your hearts, I'm going to make these points a little bit in a few minutes, in daily fellowship with him, personally and with each other, in his word to apply it to your lives, in giving, praying, and fasting, according to Matthew chapter 6. You must diligently seek him together in fellowship with the family at the dinner table. That's deep. We don't meet with the family at the dinner table anymore, do we?
Right.
And if you do, God bless you. In the house of God together. Some, and I'm talking to the choir, but some people don't come to church anymore. Especially in the days we live in.
Right.
In faithful stewardship and service, empowering those who seek him, and seeking and saving the lost together. Now we're going to break all of this down. Now, the text that this whole concept, this triangle relationship comes from is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. You see the verse here. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And here's where the triangle comes from. And a threefold cord, wham, 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 there's your triangle, is not quickly broken. Christ represents that third cord. And he is at the top of any relationship that is Christ-centered. Let me repeat this, folks. If your marriage relationship, and that's the most critical one, the most important one, I believe in God's kingdom, as it relates to human beings, because that's the one he wants to picture his relationship with the church. If that's splintered, if Christ is not in the center, you can't live together. How can two sinners agree? Ain't happening. I believe that's at the core of it. Listen, that's at the core of my... Well, listen, when my wife is not in the flesh, and she's never in the flesh, I'm only kidding. I'm never in the flesh. I'm really kidding. But boy, when we're walking, when Christ is, when our life is Christ-centered, we got a marriage made in heaven.
Yes, sir.
And there's other relationships. Because this picture, this diagram will picture any relationship that God wants us to have. Check this out. Husband and wife. And my example, I'm using as an illustration. This is Tony, your big brown baritone brother. And this is Yvonne, brown sugar. Okay? As long as we're in step, taking these steps of faith together, diligently seeking the Lord. Man, you talk about loving one another. And let me say this lest I forget. The love of God. Charity. The character. God's love begins at home.
Amen. Right.
We are the catalyst for right relationships with society. With the world. I tell people often that the cure for the pandemic is Second Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face, if they would just turn from their wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal the land. But we're not humble enough.
There it is.
Not that God's not trying. I wonder what the percentage of people who catch COVID is between the lost and the saved. How many of you know that God is sovereign and all things are of God? And God is in control of that pestilence?
Amen.
And he's always used pestilences.
Amen.
To humble us. But bless God, if a Christian gets it and dies, they're better off. This illustrates the opportunity that we can have Christ-centered relationships, not only with husband and wife, but also with husband, wives, and children, but also with an engaged couple, but also with a disciple and a disciple. Jeff, I can put your name, Jazzy Jeff. Some agrees. I can put your name over here. And as long as we're taking these steps together, as we draw closer to the Lord, we'll draw closer to each other.
Amen.
Iron sharpened the iron. Are y'all still with me? I'm just trying to set this thing up. How about friend to friend? How about Acts chapter 22, verses 41 through 47, where you had whole communities experiencing the oneness of God?
Amen.
Had all things common. One anothering.
Amen.
Loving one another. Praying for one another. Serving one another. Not backbiting one another. Spirit-filled relationships. Here we go. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Someone said that we remember 10% of what we hear. But pictures speak louder than 1,000 words sometimes. That's why we have this picture. How? To abide in a Christ-centered triangle relationship with others. I'm glad you asked. Step one is this. To abide in together. Repeat after me. To abide in Christ together.
To abide in Christ together.
You must diligently seek him.
You must diligently seek him.
Together.
Together.
First step. And this is always the first step. Matter of fact, you know, this is not the market for having that type of relationship. You can do your own steps of faith. And I wish that you would. That relate to you more. Or you think that. But your first step is always going to be this one.
Amen.
You must diligently. I'm not talking about being half-hearted.
Mom.
I'm talking about being serious about your faith. Can I holler? Excuse me. Because many of us need to be awakened up, man. Some of us are playing games with God.
That's right.
And we're the ones that lose out, not him.
That's right.
God tells us, you know, this is the first step for any Christian. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number one priority for any and everyone. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his righteousness. Listen, his way of doing things, not our own ways. For his ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thoughts. As far as heaven is from the earth, is his ways different from ours? If you don't seek God's kingdom and righteousness first, it's because you're too busy seeking your own kingdom. And your own way of doing things. And you know what? We do that by nature. Before a person gets saved, they don't seek after God. They run from God because they have a kingdom mentality that God gave Adam in the garden. Adam blew it when he sold out to the devil. And so by nature, we try to establish our own kingdoms. We have to be reminded. We have to be taught. We have to be convicted. We have to be enlightened. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 43. You can turn to the scriptures if you want, but I'm not gonna take a whole lot of time to turn to every scripture because most of you don't anyway. But you can follow along in your Bible if you want. But I don't want you to say this preacher didn't use a Bible. I quote a lot of scripture. You say, well, I'm doing these things. Well, take inventories, because I don't think anybody's arrived yet.
No.
Did you know this? Let me share this with you. Folks, there's only two kingdoms, basically. God's kingdom and the kingdoms of this world. The Lord Jesus is the King of Kings of his spiritual kingdom, which is within a person who receives Christ as their Savior. His millennial kingdom that he's going to set up after the tribulation. And the everlasting kingdom that he's going to set up after Jesus has made everything new. Everything. After the devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire. The devil, the prophet, all those who follow him. You know, how many of you know that God did not create hell for mankind? The man goes to hell because he refused to seek the king and his kingdom.
Amen.
Did you know that? Guys, I'm picking on you because I love you, and I can, and I ain't scared of you, especially when I'm up here. And because you need to be reminded, being young, strong, and handsome as you are, seek his kingdom while you're young and handsome and strong. It starts with being sure of your salvation. That's another message, so I won't go there. I will say this. There's some people who are going to think that they're saved and they're not. That's a very frightening scripture where Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you'll say, "Well, Lord, I've done all these wonderful works. I preached, I cast out, I went to church, I gave tithes." And you're going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because you never surrendered your life to me. You might have thought that you did. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you're not, it's because you're seeking your own kingdom first and not God's. Your own righteousness. I see that all the time. I did it. I'm guilty. What do you work for? Your resources, your time, your talents, and treasure. Who do they belong to? They belong to you. They belong to Jesus.
Right.
Did he not give them to us to invest them into his kingdom?
That's right.
Amen. We're not losing out.
Nope.
Come on, somebody. Don't let the devil deceive you. There's only two kingdoms. God's and the devil's. His kingdom. Maybe you need to turn here. Look at Revelation chapter 15, I think it's verse 11. Somebody with a strong voice read that verse for me. You see, Satan is the small g god of this world because God allows it to happen for his purposes. He gives you a choice whether you're going to love God or you're going to love the devil. It's one reason why he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. And he that doeth the will of God abides forever. You see, if you're not going to seek God's kingdom, man, it's because you're seeking the kingdoms of this world. And there's more people doing that than they're seeking God's kingdom. Where do you fall? Sometimes I catch myself, especially when I sit in front of that boob tube sometime and you got all the things that the world can offer bombarding you. It's pretty tempting, doesn't it? I mean, anything that the world offers, man. You know, Satan just uses the world system. Homosexuality. Bestiality is soon coming.
Yes.
Adultery. Lust. Pride of life. And that's just one avenue. Look at the internet. It's destroying our children, especially our teenagers. Now, maybe especially the younger ones. Because they know those computers better than I do. They ain't saying much. I'm about as dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to stuff like that. Someone read that verse in Revelation chapter 15, verse 11. Please read it loudly.
15:11, there is no 15:11.
Revelation? Well, the kingdoms of this world, where is that found? Is that Revelation 11, 15? I was just checking you out. Go ahead.
All right. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
One day, the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our God, and he's going to reign forever and ever. Amen? But in the meantime, man thinks that they have a kingdom. You know, I'm telling you, some people think that Biden is the king. All right? Some people think that Trump was the king. Hi, Peggy. Some people think that Putin's, not Netanyahu, they're not the king. Satan is the biggest counterfeiter that there is. Whereas God wants to usher his kingdom in. That's what he came down from glory for. He said when he was faced with Pilate, and Pilate said, listen, I can give you life or take life away from you? And that's when Jesus spoke up. He said, listen, man, you can't do anything unless God calls you. Amen. Don't you realize that if I wanted to, I can call legions of angels to come and take me out of this situation? My kingdom is not of this world. I came from glory to bring my kingdom from heaven down to the earth, down into all the communities of the world, and I separated myself 12 disciples, and I've trained them up, and they'll train my others. And you who are sitting here today, you're influenced by them. And we are to take God's kingdom, his spiritual kingdom, into all of the communities. Yes, even here in Black Creek, where the deer and the antelope roam. Where I almost brought you lunch. When I was looking for that deer. And I wouldn't hit him today because I got a rented car. And I had my partners with me. Didn't I tell you, look out for those deer?
Yes, you did.
And somebody told me next time I hit one, if I hit one on the way to church and one of your boys, bring him in, we'll cook him. Talk about headhunters. But anyhow, on a serious note, seek ye first. If you're going to abide together in a Christ-centered relationship. Oh, I gotta do this. Chris and Joe. You have to diligently seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness together. First step. Let me give you another step. Someone turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Someone else, please. You need to diligently seek him together in and at the door of your hearts. My. I tell you what, brother, this is right at the top of the list of one of my favorite verses. Someone read that for me, please. You got to be quick when I tell you to turn. Pastor, I love your voice. Would you read that? Did I hear a lady?
If our heart condemn us.
No, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20.
That's where I'm at, 3:20.
Revelation.
Oh,
I'm the
first John.
You know, Pastor, that's a good verse, man. I know not even just me, right? Because the young man wants to read. Let him read. This young man, go ahead.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
But Pastor, you said I had liberty.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I remixed some. You remember this one. Jesus is knocking at your door. Jesus is calling your name, John. Jesus is knocking at the door. Jesus is calling your name, Summer Breeze. Jeff, what's your name, son?
Tim.
And John? I remember you. Do yourself a favor. Open the door. Let it in. Give it. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Diligently seek him. And not just by yourself. You and your white sugar. I'm going to call you White Lightning. Now she's cracking up. She likes it. She was sitting there all stoic, man. She refused to let one out. Well, I got one for you. You're white sugar. Well, sweet and low, I don't know. Jesus is knocking at the door. Jesus is calling your name. Do yourself a favor. Open the door. See, that scripture is for Christians. Mm-hmm. He knocks at the door of the lost, too.
Yeah.
Christ wants to come and dwell in your heart by faith. If you're saved, he already lives there by the Spirit. If you're lost, he wants to live there. How many of you know that God created us for a love relationship with him?
Amen.
But by nature, we run from God and start looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Some of us will look for love in a bottle. Some of us will look for love in a bra that's not ours. Mm-hmm. Someone else will look for love in all the wrong places. But Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. How much better when couples open the door to him together. And he comes in. He says, he wants to come in and suck or have fellowship. He wants to set your heart on fire. Unless he does, you'll be lukewarm. You fall asleep on the preacher. So that's where I'm going to stop and break for lunch. So please stay for this, for part two. If you don't, shame on you. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.
Pastor Hayes. Yes, sir.
Well, are you a talking to the Lord?
I like that white lightning. That has a couple different meanings. All right, page 330.
Thank you very much. Forgot to bring it up there. Forgot to get it.